You've reached Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. This is Cat Sabotage. Good to see you after another week. Just one moment. We'll be right back after a little bit of George Thorogood and the Heartbreakers.
Stayed home instead. Just me and my pal Johnny Walker and his brothers Blackie and Red, and we drank alone. Yeah, with nobody else. Yeah, you know when I drink alone, I prefer to be by
Whoopsie. Well, that would be the Destroyers there. I got my Tom Petty and my George Thorogood mixed up. Right back in a moment.
Yeah, my whole family done give up on me, and it makes me feel oh so bad. The only one who'll hang out with me is my dear old granddad.
Welcome back to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Cat Sabotage, and tonight, a very special guest interview, good friend of mine for many a moon now, Jacob Powley, coming onto the show. He is a bartender in the local Spokane area, was gracious enough to enter my home studio, which is not something that happens very often. In fact, this is the first interview of its kind being recorded. I'm very grateful to welcome him into my home. We had a brief pre-interview where we got to meet my cats and just talk about art and general things. Jacob is a conversationalist and a man of many talents, as we will discuss. Jacob, thank you so much for being on the show. It's really nice to have you.
Oh, it's a pleasure being on here as well. I mean, not going to lie, as I told you before, kind of nervous being on a radio show, as I imagine any layman would be, just talking into a mic and the nagging feeling at the back of your head that it's going to be broadcasted to hundreds, maybe thousands, millions of people over the generations. Keep this channel alive, by the way.
You know, I never really get over that. It's still something that nags in my mind as well, and then I agonize over what I did, what I didn't do, what I said, what I should have said, how I said something, and it all just comes out in the wash. It works out okay. We have very generous and forgiving listeners, and I'm grateful to each and every one of them.
Oh, for sure. Well, got to thank the listeners, because without them, this radio show wouldn't be alive. So, hey, if I do any faux pas, if I say anything that might be a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Raunchy, I guess?
Uncouth.
That is a perfect term. Then, go ahead and do forgive me. Everybody at home, everybody over here, including you, Charlie, down there.
He's back. Actually, there is a cat just below our feet right now, and this is a great way to record. So it's good to have you on. I want to tell everybody right now that my home studio still only has one microphone, so we are sharing, and it's just going to pass back and forth. You are going to hear that. But Jacob, tell me about one of the things that we want to do on Solidarity Spokane is give workers an opportunity who most often are forgotten or not put in the spotlight to talk about their experience in our local economy, to talk about what got them started, what was their first job, where did they get their beginnings, and what do they do now? What kind of fulfillment does that give them? What do they feel that they can participate in the local economy? How do they feel treated? All of that good stuff. So Do you want to kick us off just by giving us a little bit of an introduction as to where you got your start? Like, was it in high school? Did you start after high school? Like, what's your story, man? Where are you from?
Well, I currently work as a bartender, so if I got my start in high school, that would have been kind of awkward. But, yeah, I guess as far as career and work choices go, like, very beginning, like I imagine a lot of people do to this day, started out as a paperboy in the middle of nowhere, Cody, Wyoming, which I'm pretty sure people have heard of before, since, you know, it's on the way to Yellowstone National Park. Got started there, did kind of a poor job of it, but, you know, kids, concentrating on studies and girls, you know, the whole thing. After that, though, worked in the service industry, starting at a little place called Granny's Restaurant. Worked there for a little time, but until my grades started to fall. After that, just kind of been bouncing around restaurants, and recently when I moved to Spokane, as of around about 5 years ago, I want to say, somewhere around there, started working in the bar industry. I started over at Sapphire Lounge, this would have been 2018, as a bar back, working with two other bartenders, later picking up a third. Fantastic crew over there. Had a wonderful time. Worked around about 10 to 12 hours a day, very constantly, with I think maybe 1 or 2 days off. So, a very chaotic field. But after that, I actually ended up working over at the hospital as a trash man janitor over there for a little while. And as serendipity would have it, this was right before COVID-19 reared its ugly head. It was actually a very surreal day when I look back at it. We were in the break room in the basement of Sacred Heart Hospital. One of my buddies, do forgive me, I can't exactly remember his name. I believe he was John. Yeah, John, coming out of East Africa, moved over here. He has a whole other story. Like, if you ever find him, definitely get him on your show. He's a cool dude. But anyway, back to the actual point, we were watching videos of people who were affected by COVID-19 when it was just beginning, you know, horror stories of people who couldn't breathe, having seizures in chairs in hospitals all over the world. It's like, this is looking bad, this is looking bad. I tried to be the voice of reason, little 20-some-odd-year-old kid that I was, just saying, all right, well, maybe it isn't as bad as these make it out to be. Maybe it's just, you know, these are the worst case scenarios. Let's just keep up with the Center for Disease Control, or that is it, the CDC?
For Disease Control.
Yeah, and do forgive me, folks. I have a hard time remembering acronyms and names. It's a little quirk of how I work. Anyway, we were watching all these things. COVID-19, of course, became progressively worse, not helped by the fact that... I do actually have a question before I go further into this story. How political can I get on here?
Your views are completely your own.
All right. So the Mango Mussolini that we all knew as Donald Trump... I do apologize if you do support him, but, you know, that's your mistake, and I'm not willing to follow you in it.
I'm not going to speak for every listener, but I think you're in good company.
Yeah, I'm making enemies today, so that part I'm kind of scared of. Anyway, so with his handling of COVID-19, plus the fact that it was becoming more and more apparent that it would be a very terrible disease that would affect the rest of our lives, some of us more than others, way more than others, this whole debacle becoming more of a terrible reality was setting in. And this is while I was carrying used adult diapers out of the trash bins into the basement to be crushed. And I was surrounded by people who, thankfully, for the most part, saw what the pandemic was, understood that we need to protect ourselves, we need to protect the patients in the hospital, but also encountering people, unfortunately, some people I worked with at the time, who denied the reality that was in front of them, which is stranger to think that that would happen when you would see patients going down through hallways who couldn't breathe on their own, surrounded by doctors and medical professionals, covered head to toe in PPE, shoving their gurney, which is also walled by plastic sealant to keep this patient inside and keep the disease as contained as possible. And we couldn't use that hallway for the rest of the day just because that patient moved through. Anyway, that's a whole rant.
No, it's not a rant. And I want to interrupt just real quick because you have such an interesting perspective of ground zero of this tragedy. I mean, you weren't a frontline, nurse or doctor or, anything like that. But that doesn't discount in any way your story and your perception of events. What was it like, that dichotomy, having in a health facility where you had people who were actively denying what was happening, and you had people who were frantically trying to prevent it from getting any worse?
I can only speak personally, which hopefully that comes clear in this whole interview, that it was irritating at best, infuriating at worst, because, again, you had clear and absolute evidence that this disease is affecting people, is affecting their lives, and is killing people. Even in this hospital, let alone around the country, and you still have folks who deny the reality, who deny the severity of the disease, who deny the actual effects and actual consequences of being complacent about it, which never really struck me as a good thing, because even when I wasn't sure that the disease would become as bad as it did, I always caution, like, well, just to be on the safe side, wear your mask, wear the gloves, like, let's see where this goes, but try to keep each other safe. But
and that was the frustrating part from the outside perspective. I was walking around trying to interact with folks, and I was doing my part to try and prevent me hurting someone by unintentionally giving them a disease that they could give to their grandparents or something like that. I mean, I knew personally people who lost family members, and I remember getting squared up. There was a guy who squared up with me at a gas station. He looked at me with the mask on, and I was in there with my buddy at the time, and he called me a sheep, the usual stuff, and spitting the whole time because he was so angry and upset at the fact that I had taken a health precaution. But I mean, was there a point where, is this how you left? I'm guessing this is how you left the Sacred Heart and the health arena. And this was kind of how you said, you know what? I think I might go back to food service, or I might go back to bartending. Was that kind of your trajectory? You were like, I got to get out of here. This is too much.
So a little bit more context in that. And I do want to say that I am not a paragon of the health industry. I was literally a guy hired on by Express Employment to work as a janitor in this. These are really stories that happened while I happened to work there. And ideally, while I was working there, I tried to do what I could to protect the patients, because in my mind, that was just the common, decent thing to do. But honestly, saying the reason why I terminated my employment over there was because my 6-month period for Express Employment was coming up. And at around about the same time, I decided I can either, carry these trash bags full of, human waste in varying degrees forever. And, a few people have made that their career and they've done a really good job about it. Or I can do what I want, which is to go back into school, get a graphic design career, big surprise, and even better, I didn't get a Starbucks employmentship out of it, so that's freaking amazing. But yeah, I went into a graphic design program, I got accepted, and I said to my employers, hey, my 6 months is coming up, I already talked to my employers or my partners in Express Employment, ending my contract. This is my 2 weeks notice. I'll do the best I can. Sorry, but I have to move along. And, there was, without getting into too many details, there was some disagreements. There were some people who really wished they, if not wanted to keep me specifically there, then at least keep the extra set of hands to help people out. Perfectly understandable, by the way. But I just wanted to go a completely different trajectory. Do apologize if it makes me out to be a very selfish person, but whatever.
I'll chime in on that. I think that, you know, we're always told that if we want to pursue something better for ourselves, that we're doing our employers a disservice. And that, you know, I think that a lot of workers stay in jobs that hurt them, actively harm their well-being, their mental health, physical health, undercompensate them, make them feel like a cog, but they stay out of a sense of loyalty and dedication to someone who gave them money, you know, to do a thing. But at the end of the day, you know, not every employer is benevolently looking at you as an individual. They are looking at you, and in at worst, they're one of those CEOs that refer to you as human capital and like to reduce you to a number and talk about you as a drop in the bucket, you know, who talk about reducing the amount of times that employees have to go on bereavement or something, and talk about the how much money are we going to lose because somebody's grandma died. You know, there is callousness like that that exists. And then there are other people who are not very much that way. But I don't think you did anything wrong by leaving it and pursuing what you wanted to do. I think it was well within your right.
And hey, I do have to say, thankfully, in my entire time, despite how large this part of the story is, my time as a working in the hospital was only a 6-month period. But
a wild one.
Yeah. As it turned out to be a wild one. I thought it was just going to be a boring job. But anyway.
Surprise.
Yeah. Well, you know, every day just kind of taking care of the trash, it gets kind of tedious. But that's completely beside the point. Thankfully, in all the jobs that I've worked throughout the ages, I have encountered employers, employees, work environments that see people more as resources. You know, as I said before, extra set of hands to help out, you know, whether it's with prep cooking, kitchen, busing, whatever, you know, service industry stuff. But they have never gone so far as to put numbers on it. On myself or any of our coworkers, they say, hey, you as a person, as an employee, like, this is what you're doing. How can we help? We haven't been quantified, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But besides all that, the job I'm working at right now, just to kind of awkwardly jam this into a forward direction, is honestly pretty darn cool. It's not in the graphic design industry, even though I tried getting into that for a little while, still am on occasion. But the job I'm currently working at is one of the sparse and many bartenders around town. Mixologist, I guess you can call it. I call myself a bartender because it just sounds less pretentious in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mix cocktails, I pour beers, I try to make everybody have a good time. And despite the fact that it is a minimum wage job and part-time, I honestly really like the job because I get to encounter people I normally would never encounter. I could encounter, you know, people who just got done with a rave and CEOs in the same night. And that was true for this current job that I'm working at, as well as Sapphire Lounge, you know, just the bar industry in general.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. God bless.
But, and you're good at it.
Oh, thank you.
You are very good at it. And you're one. All right. If I'm going to talk a little bit more, I'll go ahead and pull that back over here. And you're good at it. And you've never struck me as somebody that had difficulty talking to people. I mean, you have talked up everybody I've seen you interact with. I mean, you can easily hold a conversation. Now, I'm very much the same way, but as you have experienced and I've experienced, it's not always reciprocated. Yeah. Sometimes we have to acknowledge that we've walked into a situation where someone doesn't want to talk, but my time in service taught me the same thing. You know, I absolutely loved and relished every time getting to know the stories of people. And I you know, I was kind of a junkie for it, really.
Well, honestly, that is one of the best parts of working in the bar industry is the people you encounter, the stories you encounter. Because if it wasn't for that, I probably would have quit a long time ago. Because, again, it's very interesting learning how to create these cocktails, how to make all these interesting flavors out of ingredients that you probably aren't even familiar with and are slowly killing your liver. Sorry. But, you know, that's just... Even that can become tedious after a while. It's like, okay, well, I'm making like 15 old fashions today, 3 margaritas, Paloma, so on and so forth. By the way, I do have a question. I know you mentioned something policy-wise as far as alcohol earlier on. Does this count towards that?
No, it does not.
All right, cool. So we can probably cut that part out of the whole interview. Or, you know, just leave it in. Add a little spice to it. Add a little bit of flavor.
You know, we are coming up at a point where I can just at least get a little sound bit in here and just thank everybody for listening. I'm here talking to Jacob Powley, a local bartender. I can finally say his name correctly. Honestly, he's always just been Jacob to me, so I've always just known him by his first name. But there's a first time for everything. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane, 88.1 to 92.3 FM. We're going to take a short break. That makes Act 2 of our wonderful show here today. We're just going to have a brief message from some of our folks in the community. You're live and local. Text giveaway at KYRS and all that good stuff. We'll be right back.
Join me, Captain Maeve, as we head out and about, featuring LGBTQ folk, friends, allies, and all who make Spokane a better place through inclusion, creativity, truth, and beauty. Local stories, conversations, and creations with universal appeal. Out and about every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on KYRS.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for October 2nd through the 5th. Monday, Simone Dinnerstein with the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra at the Myrtle Waldson Performing Arts Center, Restless Spirit, Murloc, Black Locust, and Sonic Druid at the Big Dipper, and Mariel Kraft and Emma Klein at the District. Tuesday, the Ronaldos at the Osprey, Shuffle Dogs at Litz's, and Lucas Brown and Friends at Zola. Wednesday, AP Collective at the Osprey, the Rusty Jackson Band at the Valley Eagles, Jesse Cook at the Bing, the Hallucination at the District, and Open Mic at the Checkerboard. Thursday, 40 Fingers at the Fox, Sentimental Journey at McCracken's, Derek Howe at the First Interstate Center for the Arts, the Jared Hall Quartet at Emma Roo's, Langhorne Slim and John Craigie at the Bing, Avatar with Orbit Culture and the Native Howl at the Knitting Factory, Midnight Drive, Annalita, the Red Charade, Bone Mass, and Unfit for Trial at Jackson Street, and Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs at the District. For an entire hour of Spokane area musicians, tune into For the Love of the Music every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Tuesday, October 3rd at 6 p.m., Spokane NAACP will host a mayoral candidate forum and city council president candidate town hall broadcast live on Thin Air Community Radio. As we approach the crucial general election, this event offers community members a unique opportunity to hear directly from candidates in each race, Nadine Woodward, Lisa Brown, and Betsy Wilkerson. Listen to the event live on Thin Air Community Radio, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, and streaming live at kyrs.org. Can't tune in live or want to listen to the candidate forum and town hall on your schedule? There will be an archive recording of the event for future listening on demand at kyrs.org.
KYRS exists because of the support of the public. We thank you for giving a little back with sustaining monthly support to continue independent music, local interest, and progressive news programming that is refreshing, engaging, and helps expand perspectives. Just text Give KYRS to 44321 and help keep KYRS on the air.
Welcome back. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage, and today we are talking with local bartender, not mixologist. Want to make that point very clear. Jacob Powley. He's a very good friend of mine. I have been partaking of Jacob's libations in his establishment for many moons now, and I'm very happy to have him. Earlier in the hour, we were talking about his experience in the labor economy, where how he got started, where he was, ended up at Ground Zero at Sacred Heart during the COVID-19 pandemic at the very inception, has pursued some graphic design, and is now working as a bartender part-time. And Jacob, you mentioned in the beginning that your primary reason that you love your job is the people, and I completely understand that, and that your second reason for loving your job are the people that you work with. Do you have any you know, any suggestions for people listening at home as to what they should partake of if they go to their local watering hole?
Well, as long as the patrons are 21 and over and of legal age to drink alcohol in the United States of America, not Europe, because I know some of you guys are 18 years old and, you know, drink heavier than I do, and, you know, a weird sort of respect to you guys, but, you know, probably see a doctor. But with that being said, yeah, Old Fashioned is probably the best one to go for. It is a very simple drink. It is liquor, sugar, bitters, mostly made with Angostura and whiskey of varying qualities and varying types. And honestly, it's a really good drink, I'd say, to get started in if you're really trying to get more into flavor profiles, into the wide expanse that could be the flavors of alcohol. But then again, I guess I am an outlier. I don't drink to get drunk. I drink because I like the taste of some of these things. And I honestly do not like getting drunk. It's a weird, just bad sort of feeling. I'm out of control of myself that I just don't like that.
And, you know, I think that we, as a culture, have a love and fascination with alcohol. I mean, the entire Prohibition era should make that very apparent to anyone. We tried going, I mean, you can look at the entire history of alcohol consumption and for throughout the course of human history and, you know, culturally how that changes. I mean, there are podcasts just for this entire thing. I mean, you could talk about alcohol to infinity if you really wanted. But it seems that we've arrived at a place where it's like we're shepherding kids into it. I don't want to be like a little bit like teetotaler about it. I mean, have a good time, grow up, like sow your oats, do your thing. Mm-hmm. But there is something to be said about the fact that, you know, I don't know that we all cross that no man's land and get to the other side. You know, if we lose people along the way in that consumption. And I mean, I know myself established poor habits with that in my younger years, because that is what we kind of do. I mean, and it's fun and it's liberating and all of this stuff. But there may be a way that our culture can temper without prohibiting, you know, and maybe find a more measurable and healthy way to consume our beverages.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, Sam, you do raise up a decent point that I think I have seen throughout my life, is the glorification of, you know, say, few buddies of mine were back in high school and they'd throw benders with whatever cheap beer that they can get from the liquor store from whichever friend of theirs could pass off as 21 or 30 years old. There's how I view that is two separate sides. It's like, on the one hand, straight up, I'm jealous of that, because again, you get to hang out with your friends, you get to do stupid stuff all the time and get really cool stories out of it and just have a good time. On the other hand, as you said before, there are some people who become dependent on that, whether it is the feeling of becoming intoxicated or the feeling of euphoria, if I could use that term without incurring the wrath of Hulu or HBO. Sorry.
No, they don't listen.
Ah, cool. They're not. Well, they're about to.
Name drop.
Yeah. But as I said, there are people who get too attached to that feeling and try to chase that feeling. It's like the kind of people who say it didn't get any better after high school, or it didn't get any better after this certain point. Like, I want to chase that feeling. I want to chase that joy I had back in the past. What did I do back in the past to get that joy? While I was hanging out with friends, sure. What was bringing all those friends together? Cooler full of beer. Well, I guess I'll just, you know, start drinking, start doing all this stuff, hopefully get some friends together. And granted, like, that's what a bar is for. Like, you know, serving alcohol, giving people a good time, making money off of it, whatever. But I also see when it is consumed with intent, in moderation, and if your main goal is to gather around your friends, gather around company, it is a good thing to have. And it is a really good vehicle for, you know, bringing your friends together and having a good time.
The warm and fuzzies.
Oh, yeah. Very warm and fuzzy, depending on what you have. But
not my lord.
Not my lord.
Not my lord, my lord.
Yeah, there is a section where we, you know, kind of touched on that. Won't give away any spoilers. Taste it before you knock on it.
And then knock on it and throw it away.
Oh, yeah. Or drink some more, as one of my buddies does. Like, hey, power to him. But anyway, going back to what I was saying earlier is the joy of having people in the bar, people having a good time, is using... How can I connect this? Using the vehicle of alcohol, of cocktails, which is my specialty, if just in case we haven't covered that before, cocktail making, mixed drinks, whatever. Using that as a vehicle for people to gather around, to have good conversation, to get really deep or really shallow in their conversation, hopefully have a good time, which I try to facilitate all the time. Sometimes you will have people who... And I've seen this plenty of times, break down into tears, whether they are intoxicated or not. And I have also seen people who just get really serious and in a state of emotional distress. Now, my job as a bartender, at least what I see in my eyes, is to manage those emotions or tell people that, hey, it looks like you're in a bad state. Like, it's time to wrap things up. I'll give you a glass of water. I'll, you know, do things that I would do for house guests. Mm-hmm. You know, give a glass of water. Here, sit down here for a minute. Let me call you a taxi if you really need it. But let's just make sure you're in a good state. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, those are the outliers. Most of the time, it is joyful conversation, laughter all around, or just casually enjoying drinks.
And you touch on something that is really the spirit of a bar. I mean, you can, and everybody's got to kind of find their own home. You know, some people will avoid bars altogether because they've had experiences at, I don't know, you go to the Bromuda Triangle downtown. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. I don't need to be any more clear than that. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to say anything, but there
you
is
find
a...
It. It's like a beacon.
It's a beacon of... words that I can't say. It's a beacon, but there, you know, and they might go there and they might say, this is awful, I don't want anything to do with this. Or they might, you know, go to establishment. I'm a fan of dives. I've always loved them. I'll stop at a random tavern if, you know, I'm driving through a rural place, and I'll pop my head in there. I'll usually run out, but I'll also, because I don't fit in, I mean, I walk in there wearing red shoes. Everybody else is wearing work boots. They're like, what? And
you'll find another guy just spitting on your face for wearing a mask, like,
well, and there is that. So, like, which to my point, you got to find your tribe. You know, you've got to find your place where you vibe and everything. But when you do, you connect to community and you connect to this sense of companionship. And I think at our particular establishment, we have that on lock. I know that you and everyone else that you work with and the folks that I talk to are all, honestly, the best people that I've ever shared drinks with. I mean, just bar none, like, and we have all kind of made that space for each other. And people care. How have you been? What's been going on? You know, and that regular ritual of that is really, really special. And I mean, that in and of itself is wonderful.
Well, honestly, that is very heartwarming to hear, because that is something I try to do every single day I work in the bar. Is like, I want this to be a very welcoming environment, whether no matter your, you know, creed, background, so on and so forth, as long as you are having a good time and causing no harm, I want you to feel welcome. granted, there are some people who, you know, for one reason or another, cause emotional distress, cause harm, so on and so forth.
We've experienced that.
Yeah. And, you know, those people, I try to get out of there as quickly and as harmlessly as I can. But you'll find those people. But I don't know if we touched on it in this particular conversation, but I remember you saying to me earlier is that you think people are naturally tribal or naturally
communal.
That was the word you used. Where we want social interaction. We want a community. And even, in my opinion, the most surly, independent person that you can ever find, who's probably at the back of the bar or the back of the cafe, wherever, back of the restaurant, back of the park. Even if they're there on their own, I can almost guarantee you is that the reason why they're in that place in particular instead of where they live, whether it's a home or where they lay their head, is because to some degree they do want that sort of communal interaction. They do, at some level, enjoy the presence of other people. The potential to talk. The potential to share ideas.
And the potential to maybe say no to talking.
Yeah.
Maybe they come out, maybe they think they want it, and maybe they decide they don't. And they have one drink and they go home. Who knows?
For sure.
To each their own.
Are you trying to tell me something?
I know.
if you want me to, you know, shut my trap, I can shut my trap.
That is the.
I feel like Foghorn Leghorn. Like I can shut up. I can shut up all day. In fact, my daddy once told me that to shut up one time, I did not speak a word.
No, that's the exact opposite of the reason why we're here.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Dang. But anyway. This is, all right, I do apologize, folks at home and Dallin over here. Oh, dang, I used your name.
Some people that listen know my name. That's like an Easter egg.
Yeah, Stray Cat, Cool Cat, little Charlie over here.
Charlie Cat.
Yeah, Charlie Cat. I do apologize because you've probably heard it right here. I kind of go all over the place with things. I start with a point I want to make, and I really don't know if I want to go there or not. Or if I end up there. But anyway, this is a radio show, just to keep this on some sort of track, this is a radio show about interviewing and getting the stories of people who are in the labor industry, right?
You know, our show is primarily focused on that, and that is what I built this place to be. It's a space for workers, you guys listening at home, to come and share your experiences in the economy, the local labor economy, and talk about what you do and how that makes you feel and what you've seen there. A lot of the time, you know, rank and file workers are completely cut out of the conversation, and their stories are critically important to the body of our country. And they're critically important to our everyday lives. In our first show, we talked about how many hours you're going to spend at work. I mean, out of several hundred thousand hours that you are going to be alive, you're going to get 40 to, I forget the exact numbers, but you're going to get 40 to 80,000 of them to yourself. And a lion's share of that is going to be spent at work. So what we do has an incredible impact on the life that we live. And I wanted to make a space for workers to come and talk about what they do. By the way, if you're listening and you would like to do what Jacob's doing right now and what we're doing, please shoot me an email, solidaritiespokane@kyrs.org. That's solidaritiespokane@kyrs.org. But we also interview local organizations that are fostering solidarity, community solidarity, bringing people together, and promoting that idea of banding together to make our world better, which is inherently what labor unions do. Now, do they do it correctly all the time? No, they do not. Are they always, what's the word? Do they do that with efficacy? Maybe not. There are issues that have arisen in trade unions in all kinds of attempts to form those organizations in the past. But by and large, when workers are participating in labor unions and a larger share in the economy, they do better. Their wages improve, their quality of life improves, the concessions that businesses have to give to them is better. So we do talk about that. We talk about what that means for people, but I'm just happy to talk to you at the end of the day, and I'm happy to hear your story. I think it's rad.
Oh, dude, the pleasure is all mine. You can't have any. But honestly, that is a very, in my opinion, that is a very admirable goal, at least to spread information about labor unions, about the stories of other folks who work in a labor-intensive job, whether it be, in my case, bartending, restaurant workers, foundry workers, painters, contractors, so on and so forth. I assume basically anybody who works with their hands to benefit the wider community, whether it's making bolts or making coffee. I assume those are sort of the people that you want to get on?
Well, anybody. We all perform work. I would argue that anyone who is a homemaker, that could be male, female, or they, them. It doesn't have to be. It can be anyone. I mean, we all perform some kind of work or service. Even the woman who no longer works and who is retired and maybe is estranged from her family and does things for her local church or the I'm always talking about cats, my word, but the neighborhood cats, for example. And, you know, people might decry her or not know her and say she's a crazy cat lady, but she's still working. Maybe she's quilting. Maybe she's doing X, Y, and Z. The nature of work is intrinsic to what makes us human. We naturally want to create something. Does everybody? No. And I don't disparage them of it either. No one asked to be born. No one asked to embark on this crazy journey. We all just woke up in it and we're trying to make the best of it. And I don't favor one kind or the other. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that the work that they do is valuable, even though it doesn't feel like it. Because I've experienced great times in my life where I was despondent and I was depressed, and it was all related to the fact that I didn't feel seen, I didn't feel heard. The workplace has a nasty way of being undemocratic and of taking away your individuality and your sense of independence and freedom, because at the end of the day, we've transitioned into an economy where we sell our bodies, where we sell our labor. And that has limited what we can do with the rest of our life. I would argue that a more natural state would be owning your land and being self-sufficient on your land, which was the whole idea at the beginning of America. It was 40 acres and a mule, right? Mm-hmm. And the Homestead Act and X, Y, and Z, you know, all contributed to that ideal.
Manifest Destiny, but we all know where that ended up.
And the Manifest Destiny. And despite all of that, which is truly, truly awful, the idea was that we can coexist. Now, the varied history of the United States indicates the hierarchy we've imposed on people, starting with the native people that we committed genocide against to achieve this land of milk and McDonald's that is, you know, spanning sea to shining sea. I'd argue that we have missed the boat. We have strayed from that. And I guess this makes me a Jeffersonian Democrat. I guess this, you know, in the ancient sense where we're talking about, you know, Thomas Paine and agrarian justice, we must have land. And I am ranting a little bit, but I want to hear from everyone. And anyone that does work with their mind, with their heart, with their hands, all of it.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't worry about ranting because that, to me, that's what we've been doing for the past probably 40 minutes, hour, however long this conversation will last. But
we are going to have our main conversation on air, but there is going to be an addendum which will be in this show link, which will be posted later this week. So if you want to hear Jacob and I's extended conversation, that will be listenable on our show page, Solidarity Spokane, KYRS.org. So.
Right on. Sounds good to me because, hey, I like talking, and, you know, my jaw never gets tired of jacking. So let's keep this going. Do you want to end this particular segment on a particular note?
I don't, because we got about 10 seconds, so I'm just going to say you're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm Cat Sabotage, and I'm speaking with Jacob Powley, local bartender. We've been talking about this, that, and the other thing. Prohibition, land ownership, worker empowerment, and all that good. good stuff. And when we come back, we're going to have about 15 more minutes with him. You just sit right there, and we're going to have a brief message from our folks in the break section.
Hey there, folks. Join me for a musical trip along Americana Avenue. Now on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Hear the greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week, I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition, Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227.
Welcome back. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage, and we've been speaking with Jacob Powley, local bartender and my good friend. Just before the break, we went on a little bit of a diatribe about the nature of the show and what I'm trying to accomplish just by offering this space to people. And Jacob, I just got to thank you again for, you know, taking the leap and going out on it. I know when I first had mentioned the idea of you coming on, you were a little apprehensive, which is completely normal. I mean, most people, sane people anyway, don't want to get on the air and broadcast, you know, what they do in their story. So really, it means a lot to me. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure. As I said before, it's a pleasure being on this show, and thank you for having me on. Now, I do want to ask, are you trying to say something? Like, either I'm insane for coming on here, or it should be a good idea to take that leap anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
I might be saying a little bit of both. I'm saying there's a good kind of crazy, and I like to think that we're a good kind of crazy here on this show, and that, you know, our ideas might sound crazy, that workers should have health care as a basic human right, that they should be able to afford their housing. That they should be paid enough so that maybe they can save for retirement and not be dependent on a federal welfare program in order to survive in their old age. Maybe that is necessitated by the fact that the private sector doesn't do its job and take care of workers. But another time, another place, we can go into all of that. But I do appreciate the time that you've spent talking with me to the listeners and asking you guys to come and share your story. I mean, you've worked jobs in the past that maybe you didn't like. Maybe you'd like to talk about that. Maybe you worked jobs that you loved, and you'd like to talk about that. My chair's always open to anybody. Send me an email, solidaritiespokane@kyrs.org. I'd be happy to talk to you and see what comes of that conversation. I do want to get back a little bit to what you are currently doing and what you would like to do. I mean, would you be happy in your current position forever, or are you looking at different pastures eventually, sometime down the road?
Well, to be completely honest, emotionally speaking, psychologically speaking, you know, just well-being wise, sure, I'd like to be doing this job forever. As I said before, it's always a joy meeting new people, getting new stories, gathering friends together for a good time, and, you know, getting weights off of chests that need to be taken off, if that analogy makes any sort of sense.
And we're lucky. We have good people.
Oh, for sure.
Like, in our neighborhood.
Yeah. Dude, all the regulars, everybody that comes in, like, they usually have a good time. The outliers are, like, way outliers. They're rare.
Correct.
But on the other hand, financially speaking, again, this is part-time work. I really like this job, but it is part-time work at minimum wage, and even though we are very fortunate, speaking from experience, that this state allows for, I believe it is a $15.74 dollar per hour minimum wage.
You are correct, which, by the way, I will add, Washington and North Idaho listeners, has increased the wages of workers across the board. For other workers, you know, who are working in jobs that are not considered minimum wage jobs, that has raised the bar for everybody. And I, you know, I remember them talking about the minimum wage increase and how that was going to, you know, well, I work 80 hours a week and I've done that for 10 years. And that the person that flips burgers, everybody always says that. They say that like flipping burgers, like you don't go to McDonald's and appreciate the work that those people do. Yeah. You know? But I, anyway, all that is to say, it has raised the boat for everybody. Yes, 1574 needs to be higher, but we'll talk about that later.
I mean, what do you mean later? We're talking about this now. Because
I like your urgency.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, again, I am the guy, $15.74 an hour. I live with two other roommates that, you know, love them to death. They're great people. Live in a house. Very fortunate to live in a house where we each have our own rooms. We each have a kitchen, laundry machines, dishwasher, sink, and running water, and a yard for our animals to play around and for us to grow food.
You ask for so much.
Yeah. This is a house that my family owns, myself, my sibling, and my parent. We own this place collectively. We're able to take care of it, so on and so forth. But there is also a personal need of mine for independence, and I've talked to them at length about this, and we all mutually understand. However, with $15.74 an hour on a part-time job, I am not able to live independently unless I really scrape pennies together and decide to sacrifice a few bills in the meantime. Because you might have these statistics. What is the average rent for a single person, say, apartment in the city of Spokane? Like, ballpark it.
Right now, it's between $900 and $1,200. Yeah. So if you're looking for a one-bedroom, like, decent apartment, you can find stuff that's cheaper than that, but you're going to be sacrificing a lot. I mean, there's going to be basic amenities that you mentioned that you have included in your house that you're not going to get in that.
Yeah, and if this is the right term, that's the catch-22 of it all, is that per month, I make just about that much for the average rent. But that is before I pay off student loans, before I pay off credit card loans, actual loans if I ever get any, grocery bills, basic amenities for, you know, soap for myself and clothes.
Who needs it?
Who needs it? Me. Santa Maria.
At least you own it.
Yeah. If I wasn't wearing deodorant right now, man, I would smell like a pigsty.
I've never used soap a day in my life.
Yeah, I could tell.
That's why I'm on radio.
I could tell. You know, the moment I stepped into the studio, it was like a wall.
My living room, dude. Watch it.
Yeah. Anyway, that is beside the point and complete and total sarcasm.
Oh, yes. Of course. We've got about 1 minute and 30 seconds.
1 minute and 30 seconds? Man, you're putting the pressure on me. So beyond that, what I think needs to be done, at least in my personal life and for anybody else who is in a similar situation, whether you work full-time, part-time in a minimum wage job in the city of Spokane or in the state of Washington, is that I really do think you need to find other means of employment, other means of creating cash. And hopefully that means it is bouncing off of a hobby that you do, something you enjoy to do. For instance, right now, I am really trying to get back into design, back into creative fields, back into photography, and hopefully making some change on that to where I could mitigate the cost of other bills so I can build more capital in my own bank account and hopefully live independently beyond that. But that is the weird thing about living in the modern day and age, is that we keep hearing stories of way back in the 50s, way back in the 60s, that you could work, to use your example, flipping burgers at McDonald's or Burger King or whatever equivalent fast food joint was back in the day. You could work that. You could then buy a house, two cars, have a white picket fence, a yard, a driveway, own this house, have 2.3 children,
yeah,
and a cat and a dog that all agree with each other, and a lovely, beautiful wife who cooks for you every single day. But unfortunately, the reality of today, at least as far as I see it, is that even if you are working in a job that you do enjoy, that with people that you do enjoy, unless you are making a lot of money off of it, you are not able to live that reality that was sold to us back when we were younger.
And I just want to say thank you for that, because that is exactly what we talk about on this show. We have run out of time for our on-air segment. I will include an addendum. We're going to keep right on with this conversation. It's going to keep going. So if you want to hear more, SolidaritySpokaneKYRS.org. I've been speaking with my good friend Jacob Powley, local bartender, and I'm your host, Cat Sabotage, as always, signing off live, but we'll be talking more. And that'll be available at SolidaritySpokane@KYRS.org. Remember, if you would like to come on and talk about what you are doing for work and your experience in the local economy, what you think about what's going on, you don't even have to agree with us. You could have a completely different take. This is a safe place for everybody. Go ahead and send me an email, SolidaritySpokane@KYRS.org. Y'all have a great week. And remember, dump those bosses off your back.
Democracy Now! Receives support from Chaz Health, serving the Inland Northwest with 13 clinics, offering medical, dental, behavioral health, and pharmacy services to families and individuals of all ages. More information at 509-444-8200 and online at chaz.org.
Hi, this is Teresa, and you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Just moments ago on the House floor, we passed by overwhelming numbers the ability to keep government open for the next 6 weeks.
The House and Senate voted Saturday to keep funding the federal government for 45 days, but the House is in a state of turmoil as far-right lawmakers threaten to oust House Speaker Kevin McCarthy for working with Democrats to pass the spending bill. We'll get the latest from Capitol Hill and look at the legacy of California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who died at the age of 90 last week. She was the longest-serving woman to ever serve in the Senate. Then, October is National Domestic Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. We'll look at the remarkable story of a domestic violence survivor, Tracy McCarter. She's a nurse and grandmother who was jailed after her husband died of a stab wound when she defended herself during an altercation. Her imprisonment sparked outrage across the country.
I stand with Tracy.
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 I stand with my mom.
Today, Tracy McCarter joins us for her first television interview since her murder charge was dismissed almost a year ago. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S. Congress narrowly averted a government shutdown Saturday just hours before a midnight deadline in an unexpected reversal. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy agreed to a plan with Democrats and a majority of Republicans to keep the government running until November 17th. The bill does not include aid for Ukraine, but it does earmark $16 billion for disaster relief funds. The measure quickly passed through the Senate and was signed by President Biden late Saturday.